Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Happens.
Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Oppa!
Well, hello, San Diego.
Hello.
How are you guys? Looking good out there. Oh,
shit. Looking good.
Do you like our plant work?
I know. We grew these ourselves. We've been waiting 2 years to debut them. They're beautiful.
We're nature bitches.
Yeah. These plants are mother.
Icon mother. Mother ficus.
Honestly, more interesting than Roni, let's be honest.
We found the perfect reboot cast for Roni.
I know. Hi, everyone. So nice to be back in San Diego for our birthday.
Oh, look at all the gorgeousness out there. I've got friends here. I've got Brian.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, friends. Thanks for being here. So we did the first half of the Salt Lake City reunion yesterday. So today we're going to do the second half because you know we need to talk about this for 10 hours.
Yes.
But first, we wanted to start with some Bravo stuff. Shit's been going on in the Bravo world. You know, Ramona Singer, I don't know if she's hurting for money or what's wrong with this lady, but she, so much somebody said, yes. Ramona sold her Twitter to the CEO of BlackRock. Blackstone or BlackRock? There's an evil one, Blackwater.
Blackwater is evil. BlackRock is just like standard, meh, like maybe not the best. But they're probably fine. I don't know. I'm turning into Bethany. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe they're good. I don't know. What's the matter? What's happening? They're like an investment company. Like, what's the deal? So BlackRock is like an investment company, whatever. And the CEO is named Larry Fink. And someone, I think maybe it was Yolanda Pfister, or maybe someone noticed that they were following, for some reason, the CEO of BlackRock. Like, why would you suddenly be following them?
I like to think it's Blackstone, though, or Blackwater. Who's the one that's like hired the private armies to go into Afghanistan and stuff? Dick Cheney. I like to think it's that.
It could
be that.
You know
what? You better watch out, Afghanistan. I'm coming for you, bitch.
You know what? I sold my Twitter to the Taliban, okay?
Fair.
Sorry,
okay? But beyond Ramona being a dingbat, what the fuck is wrong with us as Bravo fans that we're still scrolling through Ramona's Twitter that deeply that we realized that months ago this guy's account was Ramona's account?
Well, so what's funny, the reason why we're bringing this up is because this guy, Larry Fink, bought Ramona's feed, but then just started adding to it like as Larry Fink, but didn't get rid of the backlog. So
you got to clean the account, Larry.
So the first
How are you the CEO of things? You know Larry has an AOL account. You know he does.
So like the first few posts are very like corporate CEO. Like here's a regram that says, the stock picker's guide to 2025. Like here's some news. And another thing is like long-term bond yields have jumped as markets have priced out of central bank rate cuts. And surging bond yields around the globe represent a big shift in what's going on with, you know, investment funds, etc.
You know what? Here's how to make a vodka soda, okay? It's my own recipe. You get a glass. You put some ice in it, then you put some vodka in it, then you put some soda in it.
That's my favorite Ramona video of all time.
It It literally transitions from a tweet that says, Rob Goldstein recently joined Julie Siegel for an episode of a Little Mag's conversation about BlackRock's journey over the past 30 years. And the next tweet is like, so excited for the launch of Turtle Time with Ramona and Avery. We get into the details of reality TV, dating, and what we're up to now. Which is really funny if you just imagine that Avery is hosting a podcast with Larry Fink of BlackRock talking called Turtle Time.
It goes so far back, one of them's like, you bitch, Luann. I don't know why you think you can talk to me like that. It's like, Larry.
But then there's also, imagine if it was really just Ramona trying on a new persona. She's like, whoa, everyone, stocks and bonds, okay? It's a bear market. Take your money out of the stocks and put it into bonds, okay?
I never noticed Ramona's Twitter patter was always like, because, you know, in real life on the show, you know what I mean. She'd be like, let's face it. Like, she would say that a lot. Or, I'm sorry. But her Twitter patter is nothing like just hanging with a girlfriend and laughing, okay? Nothing like the fall. Nothing like the sunset, Saratoga Beach, okay?
I like this one. Again, it says, Larry Fink is a tweet, and then time flies, but memories last forever. And it's like, it's a photo of season one Roni. Like, I just love... I love that he's sending out photos of Alex McCord to, like, you know, you know, the board.
So but
turns out there were other CEOs that did the same thing. So I was actually looking at Bill Gates' feed. And so the first few are, like, normal. It's like, hey, thank you for your warm welcome during my visit to Ethiopia. I'm inspired by your, like, insightful decisions on Ethiopia's development progress. But then the very next tweet is like, Cabaret is back, baby.
I've never found a people with a better diet. Thank you so much for everything you've given us. Love you, love for sale. I was trying to remember Luann's song from our recaps. Love for sale. The humdinging rabbit, love for sale.
The first J.P. Morgan, if you go on the J.P. Morgan official site, the first tweet says, reports 4Q24 net income of $14 billion in EPS of 4. I mean, it's so financial. And then the very next tweet is like, you better back it up, bitch.
I wanted to say something about the stock market, all right? Oh, sometimes you put your money in, sometimes you get it out, sometimes it's the dry market. Oh, baby, the way market. You gotta back it up, man. Yeah, sure, you're investing in the markets, you know. You know, write it, regret it, invest it, forget it.
I'm not texting. I'm going through our notes on the phone. I'm just sitting up here on my phone. Hi, Mom. Sorry I didn't text you back today. So let's see. This other thing. Vanderpump Rules star Tom Sandoval.
This is good, guys.
Isn't it his karma just to show up with pit stains down to his love handles?
I know. Who here is watching The Traitors? Who's watching The Traitors, right? Okay, we're not gonna do any spoilers, but like, first
they
of all.
They all died.
They're all
they've all been murdered.
The most inept traitors of all time, but however, all I want right now, I just.
An Alan outfit. He's like, hello, welcome to the traitors.
All I've been saying all day long is, Bob the Drag Queen.
Bob the Drag Queen said.
What's wrong with that lady? I love that lady, Carolyn.
Like, why? I feel like they're betraying me.
It's like Bobcat Goldthwait swallowed a frog. I love
thought
that
Rob
shit.
Was the problem, but now I am Dolores.
I just want to hear her do, like, the Pledge of Allegiance. Like, like, did you do heroin in your throat? Like, where did you do it? Where were you sticking that needle?
Bob the Drag Queen said, there was something on Twitter today where he was talking about being on the set of The Traitors and how he went up to Carolyn and said, well, you know, you and I don't have kids. And Carolyn said, my son is dead, and he was horrified and mortified, and he was like, oh my God, and he started
like,
to cry.
I was so triggered.
Yeah, and he was like, sobbing. He was so upset, so he was like, oh my God, I feel like such an asshole. So we went up to Dolores, and Dolores says, no, she said my son is 10. And just imagining how
that's
that all
so
played
dark.
Out.
But it's how she said it, too, because, you know, she's like, actually, my son is dead. I'm like, what?
My son is dead.
You're like, oh, my God, sorry.
Dang.
So anyway, Tom Sandoval. So one of the greatest images of this season of The Traitors is Tom Sandoval standing at breakfast with enormous pit stains. So he has finally something to say about it.
Well, I was in the mercy of the wardrobe department, dude. Which, by the way, they did a great job.
You can't say that right after you blame them for everything in your life, Tom.
That day, they gave me the thickest wool sweater I've ever worn. And man, that thing, I was sweating my ass off. It was hot in there. I'm only human.
I was like, did you just get caught cheating on your girlfriend again? Like, why are you whipping that one out?
I'm only human, dude.
But it turns out there was a lot more to the story behind those pit stains. He says, man, dude, in that video, I looked like rough. I also felt like shit. I mean, I just, like, had over, like, 24 hours of travel, including, like, an 8-hour layover, which made my immune system go to shit and cause, like, domino problems. And also, Ariana didn't want to have sex with me.
You had to stop doing coke for two days, Tom. Been there, okay? Just sweat it out for a week first and then join us when you're done. Jesus Christ.
Tom's,
there was a peacock in that house. He snorted it. He's trying to come back out.
Tom Sandoval on The Traitors is hilarious because he's already so wigged out in a non-Traitors environment. So, like, now putting him in a space with accusations, like, literally he's, like, behind every corner, like...
And it's always some woman who's the traitor. Have you noticed? Everybody he's come up with, he's like, it's Chrishell. Why?
She's a bitch.
Chrishell's like, I'm really sorry, but I read energies really well, and I really am sorry. I'm like, okay, come on, Chrishell.
And
up.
Every time they cut to Tom Sandoval, this is his face.
Poor Rob. Well, I'm not going to say anymore.
You'll spoil it.
I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying congrats to Robin on a nice reminder that there is a personality in there.
So my favorite character from The Traitors who got kicked off immediately, of course, spoiler alert. I mean, that's in the beginning, so sorry. If you're not caught up, it's your bad. Was Chanel from Real Housewives of Dubai. She got kicked off, which was so sad because she's been so funny in all the interviews after she's been kicked off. In this one, the traitor Chanel Ayan didn't know what Survivor was. She thought that castmates battled illness and drought. This is her quote. I've survived malaria, typhoid, Ebola, a drought, like everything. So I was like, what have you survived?
This is a true quote.
And then Derek said, I lost 40 pounds.
Basic. Basic.
Oh, my goodness. I love Chanel. And if for next season, I demand that Chanel and Dorinda are immediately reinstated on the show. Yeah. Immediately.
Bring Chanel somewhere else. She'll come to us some other show. Put her on Roni. Let her take care of those
ladies.
Let her take care of Aaron.
Yeah. Chanel on Roni would be a dream. So,
all right, you ready to get in?
Yeah, you want to do the opening?
Let's do it. Are you guys ready?
The welcome.
Oh,
to,
yeah.
Welcome.
Well, they know they're a Watch What Crappens. We've been out here 15 minutes.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs.
All right. So here we go. It's a big one, you guys. Also, husbands, shut up. I don't care. Okay. Thank you for coming.
Stop your bitching, okay? Your wife owes you nothing for this. I'm kidding. There are actually some hot husbands. I'm sorry. That's how I'm abusive to hot people. So this gets dark,
yeah.
As many episodes do. You'll survive it, okay?
Yeah.
It'll
yeah.
be okay. We're just kidding. We're going to try not to make fun of terrible things. But we did do the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills episode when they went to the Holocaust Museum and a comedy club. And it worked out great.
Yeah. So. And we just recapped Roni this week, so, you know.
So just come along for the ride.
Have fun. Have fun.
You're not saying it, so you can laugh.
No one will judge you if you laugh.
You're not going to hell. We're going to hell. All right, so previously on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Reunion Part 1A.
Alok said that I got my jewelry from Alibaba, and I said, wait a minute. Something's fishy here. And then I took a tuna fish sandwich out of my glove compartment and I threw it away. There was a story in a log. Lisa Barlow has a fireplace. Lisa must be talking to logs.
Whitney, it was a blog, not a log.
Stop accusing me of being a horrible person. My son is in Bogota. Do you know how hard it is to get a haircut in Bogota? He has to go to Supercuts in Spanish.
Let me tell you, when I told America that your jewelry was aluminum dog poop imported from China, I was just trying to help you.
Sometimes in life, we talk to friends. Sometimes in life, we talk to family. Sometimes in life, we talk to logs. But the point is, friendship is like proof. Friendship is like screenshots. Friendship is like timeline. Friendship is like receipts.
I am Greek. Meredith called me a backup dancer for Jen Shah.
You were a backup dancer. You were a backup dancer for Jen Shah's WAP video.
I am a solo artist. I am nobody's backup video, baby.
You were literally dancing backup for WAP.
I don't even know what a WAP is.
It's my new MLM with Justin. White ass people.
Guys, WAP stands for Wendy's, Arby's, Popeyes.
It stands for with seats, AOF, timeline.
Angie, you are a backup dancer, and I'm going to prove it, okay?
Nuh-uh.
If you like to, then you should have put a ring on it. If you like to, then you should have put a ring on it. If you like to, then you should have put a ring on it. Uh-uh-uh.
Damn it, you got me that time, Meredith.
And scene.
And scene.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
UFO lands in Suffolk, and that's official, said the News of the World. But what really happened across two nights in December 1980, when US servicemen saw mysterious lights in the forest near RAF Woodbridge and claimed to have had a close encounter with an actual craft?
Encounters, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, takes a deep dive into one of the most famous and still unresolved UFO encounters to ever take place in the UK, featuring shocking testimony from first-hand witnesses, hosts, journalist, podcaster and UFO researcher Andy McGrillan, that's me, and producer Elle Scott, take us back to the nights in question and examine all of the evidence and conflicting theories about what was encountered in the middle of a snowy Suffolk forest 40 years ago.
Are we alone? Encounters is a podcast which is going to find out. Listen to Encounters exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or in Apple Podcasts.
All right, all right. I want to move on. New housewife, Bronwyn Newport, may as well have walked into the group on a runway, rocking the same heart-shaped coat owned by Rihanna. Ha, ha, ha. And whether she was decked out of couture or in a hot dog costume, she was never afraid to be frank, because it's a hot dog, with old new friends. So let's catch up. And I hope you're all sitting on your buns, because we're gonna relish this clip package.
We almost didn't show this package because it's put us in a real pickle. But here we go.
So we see the package, and it's Bronwyn's story, walking into a restaurant in a bikini and boots in the dead of winter. And Lisa going, I met Bronwyn at least seven years ago. Like, I don't know how many years I've kind of known her. Maybe I know her. Maybe I'm her best friend. Who knows? But you know what? She loves her fashion.
So we see all the fashion. We see all the clothes. And then we see that scene of Bronwyn kind of like making fun of Whitney, where she's like, you want to see a healed Whitney? I mean, did you practice that in the mirror at home? Am I right? We're all girlfriends here, right? Right?
I feel very wary of people who have such harsh opinions of people that they've never even met.
I was like, oh, girl, no. Just can't. Don't sit at our table.
I know.
I met Bronwyn, and she was just so sweet and supportive.
And then we get Heather calling out Bronwyn, being like,
wait a minute, I was with Whitney, and you said you were supportive of her, but you were team fucking Lisa, and you were saying horrible things about Whitney. That's it. No one shoot with her again. Call the FBI.
So then we see Bronwyn, now Bronwyn and Heather, like Heather's come over to Bronwyn's house, and Bronwyn's like, well, we're doing this big trip, and I don't know if you and I are really in a place for you to come onto the trip right now. I'm not really sure. I think I will take accountability for the light things that I said, and I need you to take accountability. If you can't take the accountability, then I don't know if you can come on the trip.
As if it's not hurtful being disinvited from a trip. If that's not hurtful enough, you're being disinvited by a lady who looks like this in her earrings.
She's like.
For those listening at home, Ronnie is burying his face into a fake fern.
Her earrings are like little monster arms just hanging off her ear all the way down to her shoulder.
I think probably the biggest insult for Heather is her saying, I'm the star of this show and I'm being disinvited from the cast trip by a woman who has piles of dog shit all over her house.
I know. Yeah. That's how it works. Well, so
it's a metaphor.
Bronwyn's like, yeah, I just don't know if it's the place for you to come. And Heather's like, what? And I'm here to sing for my supper? Fine. Bring in the choir. It's just all these homely rejects in Salt Lake City, like, shuffle in.
Away in a manger.
All right, Chunk, leave. You can't remember the lyrics. Just go.
That is so funny. That she said that, I'm here to sing for my supper. It was like all over the season. And literally the only one who has made people literally sing on this show to get a place in something is Heather.
I need that choir storyline back. I heard that Heather was getting a spinoff of The Beauty Lab, which I can't imagine being great just because, I mean, I know that like we're all into Mormons right now.
And I guess, like, that's our thing, right? Like, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives and Sold on SLC.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, my God, the puritanical repression. Delicious. I can't wait to watch. So titillating. Yeah. And I watch them all, so I get it. I'm like, that guy is so repressed. I love it. I date him. But Beauty Lab, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of personality coming out of there. I would like to see the choir, because those are the people in Salt Lake City. Those are the people who got kicked out of, like, everywhere for everything. And it wasn't just for being gay. It was, like, for lots of reasons. It was like, that's the guy who can't play, stop playing with his weenus, you know, like your elbow skin. He can't stop playing with his weenus at the bus stop. He got arrested. And Heather's like, come to my choir. Follow them.
Yeah. I fully support that as a spinoff. Heather's Choir. They're just doing gigs at, like, the UPS store.
So then we...
They're like, overnight delivery.
The I'm sorry. We don't take that there. You'll have to take it to Whole Foods instead. Fuck off, UPS store. I've had it with you. Sorry, I went to a real Amazon spiral there.
Yeah, it got dark
here. Give me 10 options of where to return something. Amazon. That's our boss. Yeah. Okay, so then we go to the hot tub scene on that couple's trip that Heather got disinvited from. And Bronwyn's like, my earrings need to go to the bathroom. They're actually living. So I'll be right back, girls. I'll be right back. And she leaves, and Lisa's like, oh, my God, we should go, Heather.
Hi, Heather, we miss you. Cut to Bronwyn going, it was a little weird that I went to the bathroom and you guys called Heather. It was a little weird. She's, yeah, but it's because we missed her. We kind of like, we missed her more than we enjoy seeing you here presently. So you guys remember? Remember when I said, remember, just to prove that we missed her, I was like, hey, guys, remember? I was like, hi, Heather, we miss you. Remember?
Well, really, Heather is talking shit for me about talking shit about someone else, and I'm trying to fix it. Lisa, that's the kind of friend that you are? That's the kind of friend that you
are,
Lisa?
I don't want to be involved. Oh,
well, when it's me and somebody else, it's my responsibility to work it out. But when it's you and somebody else, it's my responsibility to ride your dick like it's my job.
It's a great moment. Great moment.
All right, let's start with the riding the dicks.
Like it's your job. Today's bartender. Candy loves having boys that he's fucked as those bartenders. My God, I was watching it the other day, and he's like, here's my trainer, Franz. And I was just like, Franz has had that wiener inside of him. That's all I could think the whole time. I was like, yes, Franz. I was trying to picture out, like, how it worked out on the couch.
It'll be interesting to see who shows up as bartenders this week. So anyway, Lisa's like, as long as it takes to tie.
What's wrong with you? So Andy's like, so I want to start with your friendship with Lisa. You recently said in an interview that you were on a timeout. When was the last time you spoke? As long as it takes to digest the salad. Like, literally never happens. Vegetables are disgusting. There, I said it.
All right, well, Lisa, you recently said in an interview that you were done recommending Friends. I am.
Can you blame the woman? My God, look at everybody she's brought on there. She brought on Angie Harrington, and she's like, Lisa swallows gallons of jizz to get jazz tickets.
Angie Harrington also stole Lisa's caterers, so never forget that.
She stole her what?
Caterers.
Oh, yes, yes.
The biggest offense of all.
Yes.
Do you regret recommending Bronwyn for the show?
No. And this is where we know she's lying, but she doesn't want to get yelled at again because her eyes just start going blunk, 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 blank, 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 blank. Love that, love that, love that, love that, love that, love that. So she's like, no, I don't regret recommending Bronwyn at all. But I think I'm done recommending people. I'm a transplant to Utah. And then she gets her cutesy voice, and she's like, I'm a transplant to Utah. Like, have the locals do it. You know what I mean? The natives. Let the natives take over. You should let the natives take over. God knows they deserve it. I'd watch that show, too. Give them a show. We saw it a little bit when they went to that bathtub springs. No, where did they go? Where did they go?
The
you guys
salt?
Know what I mean, though, right?
The salts? The salt place?
No, they went somewhere where I think we were all generally pretty horrified.
They're like, look, it's a native. Do your thing. Do you have any feathers? Put the feathers. It was like, oh, this show.
So Lisa's
love this
like,
show.
Lisa, and he's like, well, who did you recommend, Lisa?
It goes way back. It started with Heather, and then through Heather came Whitney, and then Angie, and then Jenny, and then Bronwyn, and then John. He actually should be a cast member, but he's still outside parking the car.
There was a fight going on Twitter between Lisa, literally Lisa, and everybody. If you say anything about Lisa, she'll find your ass and be like, whatever, stupid.
She's going to go the distance.
Yeah. I'm going to go the distance. But she got in a fight with like a Mary Cosby fan account that said like, I read that book, Diamonds and Rosé, and it even says that Mary got this show started. So whatever, Lisa Barlow. And then Lisa's like, actually, I'm so sick of answering this question from you. So here's the thing. I did start this show and I'm the center of the show and everything's about. Yeah, so it's funny that he brought it up here to make her answer again.
And actually, Lisa, it was actually really funny because Lisa was trying to get Angie K on earlier, and she literally says, she was trying to get Angie K on because she goes, because I was going to get a shampoo bowl from Angie.
What is a shampoo bowl?
I don't know what a shampoo bowl is. Is it just a bowl that you put your shampoo in? Is it a beauty? It's a beauty salon. It's a, you go to the beauty salon and they do.
Oh, that's where they wash your hair in it.
Oh, I thought it was like a bowl that you arrange your shampoo in. Oh my God, I'm about to get a free bowl. Put her on the show.
Our shampoo bowl when I was a kid was just the sink. My mom would just like turn us upside down and start using that little sprayer function.
So Andy's like, all right, well, Table from Cloth says, hey, Bronwyn, was it disappointing for you to come on the show as Lisa's friend to have her turn on you?
All right. It's time for a Bronwyn monologue.
It's a big one.
Bronwyn answers very longly. I know that's not a real word, but that's all that I could come up with right now. So she's like, you know, hold on, everybody. Let me just get... I just feel very differently than I did then. And at the time, I definitely did feel like you were not being a friend to me. And I kept thinking, something has gone on between Lisa and I. Something's not right here. For a minute, it was right. But then it wasn't right anymore. And, you know, I think you see me kind of chasing her the whole season. Am I right? You see me chasing her? You do, right? Yes. Mm. Yes. You see me chasing her. Mm. And then, you know... Then I was like, what went wrong? What went wrong? You kept stabbing her in the back for no reason and talking shit behind her back and yelling at her. That's what went wrong.
Well,
I know that Lisa Barlow is a monster, but you started it.
Well, and now that I've watched it back and I've watched the way you are with Angie and Heather and I've been, you know, charging Todd's Palm Pilot and things like that. You know, things you said in your confessionals. I don't think anything went wrong. I just think that I was just unaware that we were just, like, not as close as I thought we were. And I think that, you know, I think that I was Lisa's social friend, and I was incredibly close with her. She didn't want to repay the friendship tax, even though I'm incredibly wealthy, and I bought her a first-class ticket one way to part of a trip. And I did, you know, at one point... You know, she got a shampoo bowl from Angie, and I got her a shampoo tray, you know, and it's just... I guess it's just a one-way friendship, and that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, she just sees me as somebody that she sees socially. Well, do you know why she thinks that? Because Lisa was like, I just know her socially.
We weren't in like embedded in each other's lives, you know? Like, we didn't tell each other our deepest, darkest secrets, and I've always thought highly of her.
What are your deepest, darkest secrets?
One time I put a Frosty in my car cup holder and accidentally dipped a fry into it. And it was the most delicious thing I ever had. So one time I had a French fry with Frosty on top of it. I'm so sorry, Mom.
You know, on that note, I just want to announce that today, for the first time in my life, I had my very first Blizzard from Dairy Queen. Thank you, Ronnie, for holding my hand through the process and showing me. Ronnie guided me. I was like, what do I get? He's like, well, you should get the Blizzard. What was the thing you got? Like the peanut?
I got the peanut Buster Parfait.
Yeah.
Personally.
He got the fancy thing.
There's natural things in it, like peanuts. Yeah. There's fruit.
Yeah.
But don't you love when you show somebody like your childhood thing? You're like, this is the most amazing thing from my childhood, and they're like,
I thought it was very tasty.
It was media. It was mid. You're right. Okay, so. It was like a dairy print. It was like a dairy duchess. It wasn't really a dairy queen.
It was like a dairy countess.
Yeah, dairy queen needs more sugar. There, they heard it here first.
The truths are coming out tonight, everyone. Come for Salt Lake City. Stay for the Dairy Queen critiques.
So.
Thank you. Waited 13 years on this podcast to say that.
Mineral from Water says, hey, Heather, you didn't give Bronwyn a chance. Do you regret treating her the way you did after watching her season? Do you think you were unfair to her? And Heather's just like, well, listen, I got a real quick read on Bronwyn because I know readers because I'm an author. I'm currently writing my third book called Receipts, Proof, Joseph Smith. And I knew exactly who she was when she had a conversation and then started talking about Whitney differently to her face than she did behind her back. And guess what? I regret nothing. I regret, ow, I bit my tongue. Maybe the teeth. I maybe regret the teeth.
There was more conversation in the car. Yeah, And yes, I was hard on Whitney, and then Whitney and I had a conversation, and I said to Whitney, I didn't leave there with a great impression after you stormed out. I did say that, I did. I will just nod until you just accept it.
What are you talking about? You told Whitney, of all people, that she's iconic. Love that that's Heather's big diss. She's like, we all know you're lying. You called Whitney iconic.
It's an honor to be named after an Alanis Morissette song.
Hey, and then I have a question for you, because I feel that I'm always there for people, and then, like, you're not there for me.
You can do it, Whitney. Come on, you can do it.
What?
You were almost on the way to asking a very incisive question.
I forgot. Can we start over again?
I was so supportive. Oh, and I feel like you won't claim me publicly. Oh, this is close. I almost got it. As a friend.
Oh, thank Jehoshaphat.
Well, that is something that I see when I watch back. That is true, Whitney. I do see that as I watch that back. And I very much was in a place when we were filming where I thought Lisa, this is all Lisa's fault, by the way. Every personality flaw that I am showing tonight is because of Lisa. So It's because I thought that Lisa and I were better friends, and then something had gone wrong, and I was trying to unravel what that had been. You know, I was just trying to unravel it.
Just trying to
get that going. And, you know, more often than not, I place Lisa on a pedestal. You know, and then I found out Lisa is this bag of bones with long, stringy hair. And I'm so sorry that Lisa did this to you. Lisa did this to you, yes? So you're saying that Lisa hurt you? Okay, show me on this water bottle where Lisa hurt you. Okay.
Everywhere. So Andy is like, do you accept that, Whitney? And she goes, I do accept that because I fucking hate Lisa right now, so I'll accept anything Bronwyn says.
Whitney's such a dingbat. Her actual answer is,
yeah, because my relationship is totally separate from my relationship with Lisa.
It's like, what does that have anything to do with?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, you take it away.
From Sam. From Diego asks, Blatant from Pandering asks, you seemed offended that Bronwyn wanted to mend things before Palm Springs. Can you blame her for not wanting to invite people she's not in good standing with? And so Heather's like, I mean, it was a move, Andy, and it's a couples trip, and I think I was never involved in the first place. I was never going to go on that trip, and it was very clear to me the minute I walked into her house that I was there to sing for my supper. Well, let me sing it right now. Receipts, proof, Dublin!
And why? Why would you want to create fractures in a friendship group that are like newly fragile? And Bronwyn's like, did anyone else think that I was only there to embarrass Heather? Answer the fucking question. Answer one question, lady. So she's like, or that I was trying to fix it with her, because I would love to know that. So everybody thinks I was trying to fix it with her? Everybody's raising their...
It doesn't
if you
matter.
Don't think that, don't raise your hand. I mean, if you don't think that, if you think that, don't raise your hand.
Wait. Can I lift my foot up? Whitney's like, I know Heather so well, so I could see where Heather's perspective was coming from, and the walls went up right away, like for Jen Shaw. But I also did see Bronwyn trying, so I think it was just really a sad miss, but I understand both perspectives.
Okay, well, carbon from dioxide wants to know, Heather, you know, you have an edge to you now, and it's because you're not fat anymore. So...
Yeah.
You've lost weight, so now you're a huge bitch. So,
that question came out of nowhere. I was like, what?
What is wrong with people? Jesus.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Keke Palmer. And let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me. Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer. We're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's gonna change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you wanna understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely gonna hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
So Heather's like, I mean, I guess that's an interesting read on it. I guess when I was heavier, I was more of an underdog. And like, I was just, it was okay when I stood up for myself because I had to wear stretchy pants. But season one, Heather had a lot more confidence than this girl. I mean, this show strips you of your ego. It strips you of your confidence. Okay, now you're just full of shit. I was with you for the first 2 seconds. How does this show strip anybody of their ego? Look around this room. Meredith is literally sitting there like, how dare she? I'm the only person.
There's a listening device under my chair, and I don't appreciate it. Brittany.
You're on a show with Lisa Barlow. How could you say this show strips you of your ego? Oh, my God.
So Mary has a nice monologue where she actually says that she feels like Heather's different, but she's been pouring love into herself. And when she met Heather many years ago, 5 years ago, she was like in a dark, unhappy place. And we, you know,
well, we know what Mary means too, because, you know, Mary's like, well, you know, when I first met Heather, I hated the bitch, but you know, it's mostly because, I mean, she was fat. I just hate fat people, but now she's not fat. So, you know, good for you, Heather. That was basically Mary.
That's basically
Do you remember
it.
When
yeah.
Maylee was doing that thing up on the... They were having that, like, exercise day, and Maylee was up on the ropes, and Mary's like, I don't remember her being so big. That's Mary.
To be fair, a lot of people just don't remember Maylee.
That's true. Mary's like, but, you know, now she's more self-assured and stuff, and she's more confident, and you are different. And Andy's like, well, you always seem confident to me. And she goes, well, I mean, you have to have more confidence to show up with no clothes fit. I mean, I'm wearing a stretchy jumpsuit. I mean, I'm next to all these beautiful women, and I have confidence in spades to do this whole show, Andy. And he's like, why are you crying? And she's like, because I'm starving. What do you think? I'm hungry.
Okay, I want to switch gears for a second. Let's talk about something uplifting. Okay. All right, so Shu from Lace says, Bronwyn, you discovered Lisa knows Gwen's parental grandparents.
Oh my God, Lisa.
Did you intend to share that story on the show, Bronwyn?
No.
No, I did not, which is why I showed Lisa a picture that surely she has never seen and had no idea of, and showed it specifically to Lisa in front of production and had no idea that it would end up on camera.
So Andy is asking Lisa, he's like, well, you knew Gwen's dad. And she's like,
yeah, I knew him very loosely. It's like a social friend. Yeah, I'm like friends with his parents and everything. It's like really cool.
And Heather's like, so you saw the photo and you're like, I know that family, right? I'm just trying to help you out, Lisa. That was your line. She goes,
yeah, I saw the photo and I was like, I knew the family. Yeah, yeah. I used to go to the mother's house and like up the stairs, she had a picture of him. Oh!
Well, I can't tell you a person other than Gwen I've ever showed a picture of Gwen's dad to. I was very clear about that. I've never shown one to Todd. Mostly because the father worked out and was younger, and I just don't want Todd to get mad at me.
Also, you can't show photos on Palm Pilots.
I tried to draw it for him, but...
We did have a very good game of Minesweeper, though.
The stylist was really rough, Andy. I'm not going to lie. So she's like, well, he's seen it now, of course, but he had not seen it before. And so when you say I look like Glenn, you know, I just felt like maybe I could share this with you. You know, I could confide in you that Gwen looks like her dad and how much that hurts me. And I felt, you know, she goes through the whole thing. Like, I was confiding these huge things to you, Lisa. I was letting you in such a huge way with my daughter. And your responses did feel like you were defending them. So Lisa's like, wait a minute, you're talking about the after show. So we don't cover the after show on this show, but on the after show, which we find out now, Lisa's like, you know what? I knew it was a super sensitive situation, but also for the family that lost her son. So Andy's like, well, what did you say on the after show? I barely watched this one. So somebody fill me in, okay? So we see a flashback, and Lisa's talking to Brittany. Which, why would you pair those two, you know? So Brittany's face is just like...
Brittany's just so excited to be there.
She really is.
She's like, just ready to sing Pocahontas at that point. Are you guys ready for me? I can sing it.
So Lisa is telling her, look, I had a long conversation with Gwen's grandmother, and she's like, we're open to meeting her. We're excited. You know, last we were told, Bronwyn had a miscarriage. Okay, and there was no child. And then her son, who passed away, his wife reached out to Bronwyn, and she's like, but we never got to meet Gwen. So it was, like, really upsetting for them. So she's, what Lisa's saying here, and I'm not going to stand up for Lisa this whole time, don't worry, but I think on this point, she's saying, we filmed the after show before the show airs. So they showed something else that they cut from the show. They showed this on Peacock. But they showed a flashback to a foot massage place where on camera, Bronwyn said, I thought there's no way this person could know I have a child somewhere and someday not come for her. And Lisa said, did they not know? Because I think that she was told you had a miscarriage. And she said we didn't hear differently. And Bronwyn didn't get mad. She was just like, okay. So Bronwyn had them cut that footage from the show, right? She went to production and said, could you cut that footage? That's too sensitive. Right.
This was on the reunion, by the way. This was on.
Right. Yeah. So they cut the footage from the show. So Lisa doesn't know that they cut the footage from the show. So when she goes on the after show and she's like, I thought she had a miscarriage. That's what I was told. And now Bronwyn's like, how dare you, Lisa? Because they forgot to cut that from the after show. They cut it from the regular show, but not the after show. So now I'm not saying total justice for Lisa, but she's so bad at explaining herself, and she just goes down. At this point, girl, if you can't explain it, just say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's all she needs to say.
It's a sinking ship.
That's all you need to say at this point. But, yeah.
But why ever take the easy way out when you're Lisa Barlow?
She can't do it. I mean, God bless her. Even if she's in the right and she has a point, she's like, how could you do this to me?
This was obviously more of like a darker part of the reunion, but luckily... Like, we did have the comedy of watching Lisa choke up, like, every 2 minutes. Just in a random sentence, she was like, well, you know what's really funny? Hold on, I'm getting a text. Oh, I'm getting a text right now! Like, she kept on doing it as, like, her get-out-of-jail card thing. Worked for me. I liked it.
So Bronwyn tells us basically what I just told you, right? So she's like, but then in the 18 years that I've had Gwen, I've never told a single person who this person is. I've never asked for money. I've never said anything to them. So I was really careful, and you and I had a clear conversation, and you're entitled to believe your friends if you want to, but you've been on TV a long time, Lisa, much longer than me, and you know what was going on the after show and repeating that I faked a miscarriage. And this is where Bronwyn loses me. No one ever said, Lisa never said you faked a miscarriage. No one ever said it. I think the implication is the guy lied and said,
that's
Mom and Dad, don't worry, we can still go to our little planet with all the other fucking wives because the baby died. I think that's what happened.
Yeah,
but now she's accusing Lisa. Now, why does Brynn get in trouble for all the shit she lied about to get sympathy points on Real Housewives of New York? But Bronwyn is still called an icon when she's saying shit like this. She never said you faked a miscarriage, and that's not cool to put that on somebody. Because now when you go online, everyone's like, Lisa accused her of faking a miscarriage. Bullshit, lady. Bullshit. And I don't care who agrees with me, that is low.
Well, I'll tell you why Brynn gets more shit. It's because when Brynn isn't lying, she's also not entertaining. And Bronwyn is entertaining when she's not lying also.
True.
Bronwyn is so much more entertaining than Brynn.
She is,
but
yes.
I do agree. I do think
Wait a minute. Wait. A sexy podcast recording.
I'll cast your pod, big boy.
San Diego. I want to meet Diego. Diego, call me.
So Lisa's like, I never said you faked a miscarriage. What? And Bronwyn's like, well, you know how hurtful that would be to hear from my daughter. And she's like, well, he's passed away. And Lisa's sobbing, like, he passed away. Gwen's father has passed away. And, you know, we go to commercial. We come back, and Lisa's just like, you know what? I'm in a lose-lose situation here. I just can't win this.
So Bronwyn was like, I don't understand why you have to do this or whatever. And Heather basically tells Lisa, she goes, just say sorry and just, there's no way out. It's done.
Heather's like, listen.
It's done. It's
as
over.
As a New York Times best-selling author, trust me. Your goose is cooked. Just say sorry. You're not going to win this. Bronwyn has nailed that coffin shut. Say sorry.
Yeah. Bronwyn is a very, very good arguer, which is one thing I love about her. So whether she's wrong or not, like, I love watching her. Like, she just, like, just shreds everyone on this show all the time.
Well, yeah, because she twists everything they says and uses it in as accusations against them and lies, basically. So good for her. She's a great lying arguer. She's winning.
Yeah, but, like, let's not act. Like, let's not forget when Heather was trying to come for Bronwyn, and Bronwyn was like, yeah, because I use my fucking credit card because I want it. It was my fucking credit card. Whatever that moment was, I was like, yes. Like, that was such a good moment.
Well,
I wish I could have.
Congrats on Todd having a giant credit card. You're still a dick.
So Lisa is, it's over. Miscarriage has been, like, invoked. And so it's, like, time to just, like, quietly, like, give her the cane, pull her off. And the segment, it's, like, it's not going to get any better for her. So,
well, Bronwyn's right. And this is the thing, you know, because Bronwyn is right on a lot of this stuff. It's like, look, lady, I just told you I'm pregnant. This family totally shunned me, wanted nothing to do with the baby. And Lisa's like, but I love them. They're good people. And you know, to Lisa Barlow, what that means.
They're really rich.
Yeah.
They're really rich,
and they're high up in the church, so it's not like Lisa gets off scot-free here. She's like, her mother's so sweet. No, she's not. Her mother's a fucking bitch. That mother sent somebody out who's pregnant on the street by her son and disowned the girl. And if she did have a miscarriage, if she believes she did have a miscarriage, where's the flowers? Where's the I'm sorry? Where's the can we help you? So, no matter what happens between Lisa and Bronwyn, fuck those grandparents. Fuck both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I love being mad. God, I love this job.
Happy birthday to us. For our birthday, I got Ronnie anger.
Robbing.
So Bronwyn is, so Lisa's like, fuck you. You want to make me out to be this horrible human being that I'm not. Bronwyn goes, Lisa's welcome to believe them if that's what she want. They want to tell her. That's what happened. But I don't understand why you can't have an ounce of understanding of how painful this was for Gwen and I. And Meredith is like, well, I think that's why she's crying over there.
No, I lost my Subway rewards card. That's why. I worked for 3 weeks on that thing.
And Bronwyn's like, well, once you repeated it, Lisa, it went everywhere. She repeated it on the show after she didn't know that you had a fit about it being on the regular show. Why aren't you yelling at production? Yell at them. So Meredith is like, yeah, that's why she's crying, I think. Lisa, is that why you're crying?
Oh, sure.
You did hear about the supercuts in Bogota. So she's like, you could at least start with a, I hurt your daughter. Which, I mean, I think Bronwyn's right on all of this, you know. So Bronwyn's saying, you could have just said, I hurt your daughter and this caused all this shit. And you put it out. Even if you didn't know, you could have just said you're sorry, you know. And Lisa's like,
well, but that would be a lie.
Well, no, the lie but is about...
The lie is that she brought it up on the app.
No, the lie is Bronwyn says, you can say fuck me. I don't care about you, Bronwyn, anymore, but like I want you to apologize to my daughter. And Lisa's saying, no, I do. Like, the lie is that I don't care about you. I do care about you.
So she's like, so, you know what? You know where we could start with? This is where you and me struggle. You know, you always say, well, you know what, Lisa? You should be saying this, and you should be saying that, and I don't like when people tell me what to say.
No, I'm just giving you options for things you could say because you did none of them. And Lisa's like, I don't need options. This is a very complicated position for anyone to be in. And Mara's like, do you?
Do you know how difficult it is knowing that somebody had a child that their grandparents didn't?
It's like you're talking to the person who had the child that the grandparents...
This is like going to like a Pizza Hut, Taco Bell. Which one do you go to? It's a complicated situation.
Lisa could pass by Jesus Christ getting crucified and be like, I can't believe they're blocking the road to lunch. Do you know how difficult it is to get that reservation over there?
It's complicated. So Meredith goes,
she can out-martyr the biggest martyr in the world.
Do you feel badly that Bronwyn and Gwen were hurt by what you said? And furthermore, do you feel badly that you're implying that I have an eating disorder?
You know what, I could have said what I wanted to say, but there's so many chime-ins from everybody, so I just couldn't say it. You know, I would never want to hurt Bronwyn or Gwen, because they're all so rich. So, before you know it, I'm just not going to be invited anywhere.
So Andy's like, Bronwyn, at the end of the season, Gwen still hadn't decided whether to pursue a relationship with her grandparents. Where are things now? And Bronwyn's like, well, that's in Gwen's court now, and Lisa gave us the information when this all came up, and, you know, Gwen's going to make that decision at some point, and she will just, you know, that will be her choice. Like, is her voice going up to the ceiling? Like, it's floating off.
So she's basically like, well, she's 18. She can do whatever she wants with those fuckers. So Andy's like, well, I guess the million-dollar question is, Bronwyn and Lisa, is there a path forward? Here's what I love, healing. So just to remind you, Lisa completely fucked you over and has no remorse. This lady just made you look like you said you faked a miscarriage. You guys want a hug? That's what this show's all about.
And now we can all exhale because we got through the miscarriage accusation segment of the reunion, everyone. We did it.
We did it. People are going to be leaving here like, thanks for bringing me to the show. Thanks.
So basically, this relationship is gonna need next season to whatever.
Yeah,
so now
it's not
like,
gonna work out.
Let's break for lunch, which is I love the let's break for lunch because that's the moment when Andy just sinks in his chair. Oh,
immediately with his phone. His phone. He just sinks down, has his phone here. He's like,
he's playing Wordle. So now they all break for lunch, and Mary goes, "Wow, now I remember why I don't miss these."
So then we go to the dressing room where Whitney and Heather are still doing their damn handshake. I can't.
Hello, salute. Up, da-da-da. If you like the Danny Show, build a ring. Can I join in?
You got me again. Brooks is, but Brooks fluffs Meredith. That's probably not the right terminology.
He's like, let me fix your hair, Mom. Your hair looks really good.
Mom, you are an icon. The way you gathered those bitches, like literally mother.
So then we go to Lisa and John, and Lisa's like, I mean, it's just so frustrating.
It is so frustrating. I'm like tired of the hamster wheel.
Do you want to leave the show?
What are you fucking crazy, John? Shut the fuck up or I'm going to divorce you. Stop speaking. Seriously.
He's like, I know it's hard when they all come for you. She's like, no, I'm not talking about that. It's me watching you parallel park. It's so frustrating.
So then we go to Whitney and she's like,
Lisa has problems with everyone. Don't you think at some point you could just quote Taylor Swift and be like, hi, I'm the...
What is next?
What?
What is next? I only listen to Yanni.
Lisa's the problem. It's Lisa.
Taylor Swift is Greek. So then we go to Heather, and Heather's just talking shit with the makeup people. And that's a good thing when you don't have a husband to go back there and like cry to. You just get to talk shit with the people who really don't care about you, the makeup people. Because the husbands at least have to kind of, the like, mid pretend to care, but the makeup people are getting paid. So anything you say, they're like, uh-huh, yes, girl, yes. So she's like, I'm totally annoyed with Bronwyn's Dame Edna act. I mean, like, hey, my intention is to make sure everyone loves me, and I'll start with Twitter, and then once I'll say every politically correct thing. I just feel like she's running for office, like I'm in a TED talk that I just did not need to hear.
Says Heather in her 10th monologue of the episode. So then we see Todd is sitting with Bronwyn, and he's like, there's a draft. So Bronwyn's like, it's like, well, we got right into the Lisa and Guinevere.
Give me the Reader's Digest version. The worst thing to ever happen to this world was long-form writing.
Well, I'm not telling her what to say because she gets spicy. Settle down over there. I'm trying to watch Diagnosis Murder.
But I was telling her, is there anything you want to apologize to me for? No? No? You don't want to apologize for anything? Would you like to? I kept giving her the options. I gave her multiple things to say, and she just wouldn't say them, Todd. She just wouldn't say, I guess we're never friends. And he goes,
yeah, I guess you were just social acquaintances.
And she goes, well, I was a social climb, and when she wanted to come to our jazz suite, when I had a party, she wanted to come. And he goes, well, of course. And she can come to our jazz suite and not have anything to do for it, so to speak. Wow, look who got an iPhone.
Yeah, we know how much Bronwyn hates when you demean a woman with sexual comments and suggest that she only gets things from fucking people.
Yeah, not a hypocrite at all, you two.
And also, we get to see later in this episode, we saw in the previews, where Bronwyn is like, and how dare you, your husband talk to a woman like that? What husband talks about a woman like that? Yours. We just heard him.
So now it's time for the husbands to come out onto the set, which is, I'm already cringing. I don't know, just like seeing Todd up there, I'm like, oh no, this is just going to be, this is, you know, like, Seth is over there waiting to say, biatch, and Todd is like, this stool doesn't fit nice. So Todd's like, I want to sit next to Andy.
Earn it.
Andy Griffith. So Andy's like, all right, we're back with the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and the husbands are joining us. Hey, hey, Justin.
Justin's like, hey. Hey, Andy.
Can we get a PA to clean up that trail of chocolate syrup? Thank you so much.
All right, hi husbands, hi husbands, hi husbands. Okay, Todd, welcome to your first reunion, possibly your last. Let's just hope you make it through the whole thing. So I'm sorry I'm not greeting you in an inflatable costume. How do you feel about landing from business trips and having your wife greet you at the airport in a costume?
Well, look, it's just fun. It's like, you know, turning on George Burns and Gracie and listening on the radio while you eat your macaroni and cheese. That's it.
Sean, how about you? We've heard you're giving circle jerks this year. Just in case that's true. We love circles.
Sounds like, yeah, well, I'm having a great time, and Angie's doing a great job, and I'm here to support her. Is that Meredith Marks? I fucking love you. Please sign my Louie on the way out.
Mary, well, we didn't see Robert Sr. this season. Why is that? And she's like, well, obvious reasons. He doesn't want to be a part of this. He's happy. He's good with his life. He doesn't want anything to interrupt it. Todd's like, wait, that was an option?
I thought grandpa's had to come to these.
I love that we've got two people on this show married to their grandpa. Okay. So, I know you guys, I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong. It's deep. It goes deeper than you could ever know, you guys. So, just laughing through the tears. So, Andy's like,
so, John, how are those parallel parking spots?
And he's like, wow, that was amazing. I had like my first iconic moment ever on television.
That was a great reveal.
And Heather goes, it changed things for me with you forever. We come here as a group of women, all thinking that we can park the same way. And then it turns out people come into this group and they do not park the same way. And we have been through the trenches together, parking in normal spots, diagonal spots, parallel parking. And for someone to come in here and try to destroy us with parking very slowly for 10 minutes, we do not accept that. And we band together because we've been to hell and back. And I swear to God, if I have to say that Jen Shaw gave me this black eye because John Barlow parked too slowly, I will say it.
All right, here we go. For the last 5 years, the Salt Lake City husbands have managed to keep their skis out of the ladies' icier moments. Who's writing this? Is there a monkey at the wheel back there? But this season, the husbands and couples were openly taking swipes. Todd, that's something you do on phones that work. Like they were authorized users of Todd's Black Card watch. So we see flashbacks of the season of the guys, and the guys talking in the pool, and, you know, not like bringing misogyny into it at all, which is great. And Seth is like, you guys, you judge a straight guy by his wife. You judge her by the quality of his wife. I think that we're killing it.
And Todd's like, well, I'm going to make a different point. You judge a wife by the quality of the Werther's Originals they bring you.
Yeah, you judge a wife by the quality of their husband, and they're the winners in this situation. You know how many people want this body? Go to a mall at Christmas time and see all the ladies lined up to get the piece of Santa and tell me this ain't where it's at, biatch.
And then we go to that dinner. Oh, not a separate dinner. And Brittany's like, hey, I've got an announcement. Ding, 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 ding. I've got an announcement. My announcement is that Jared and I both want to know, Bronwyn, how did you choose your husband? And Prompa goes, because he's hysterically funny, as you will see on this entire season, I'm sure.
So are you attracted to him? Are you saying because he has money or because there's an age difference? Because that is a low blow.
Bronwyn does trap people like that because she's like, I'll give you, here's your choose your own adventure as why I should be mad at you. Option A, you said that because you said that because you're saying I'm a gold digger, or option B, you're saying it because I have terrible taste in men. Which path should we go down for this fight?
So true. And wasn't this right after Bronwyn had been digging at Brittany about her stupid relationship with Jared too? And, you know,
I mean,
that's fair. That was fair. So, okay. So she gets pissed off at her for that. And then we go to the dinner at the vacation in Palm Springs. And someone's like, oh, it's nice out here. It's like miserable feeling, but it's beautiful. And Bronwyn goes, yeah, miserable, but beautiful. It's an analogy for Todd and I's marriage. Miserable, but beautiful. And he's like,
I don't know much about their relationship, but it looks like there's mild tension. And it also looks like someone's been leaving spy devices all over this room.
So then we see Todd and Bronwyn sitting together at their house after the vacation where she yelled at everybody and kept having walk-offs and saying the F word and stuff. And so he's like, well, in the 10 years that we've been together, I've never seen you act the way that you did this weekend. It's not very becoming for you. And next time you're getting a 7-Up, there's no Shirley Temple in your future, Missy. You want a cherry in your drink? You better learn how to behave.
And then we also see another clip of Todd saying, well, you know, when Bronwyn and I started dating, I had a friend at the NSA do a background check on her. And Brahma goes, oh, yeah, because I can be a real snarky cut fitness.
Don't say that.
Trying to think how those things even linked. Oh, yeah, I can be a real snarky cut fitness.
Investigator, she's being too snarky.
She was snarky, so I called the NSA.
Something's going on with this lady. She's making too many jokes. I think she's working for the Russians.
Okay, well, God, I'm really running out here. Redemption from Value says, Bronwyn, Todd is obviously very blind. Were you concerned about him being on the show? You know, maybe embarrassing you, farting inaudibly, pinching his nipples too much while he crosses his arms for no reason.
I think Todd is just like playing, he's like...
Mary Catherine Gallaghering it. So Bronwyn is like, she's got like her hand all the way back. She's like, yeah, I'm just going to touch Todd, to, you know, his, just to make him feel comfortable. It's like, this is his version of a thunder vest.
It's okay. Like making sure your child in the back seat is safe when you're taking a red light too quickly.
All right, Todd, just settle down. Okay, we're on TV, remember that. You know, I let Todd be who he wants to be. Calm down. Okay, and Todd and I have had some really important conversations, and we've watched each other back, and I would have said, you know, said before we filmed, while we filmed, and that we've had a good relationship, but we have a much stronger one now because I feel like saying that. It doesn't really make sense, but I'll just say it. We are much stronger now.
You know, now I've seen from other people's perspectives how maybe I speak to Todd. Is that fair? Or about Todd. Is that fair? That's maybe not representative of our feelings. And, you know, I won't speak for you. I won't speak for you. You want to speak for yourself? Don't speak right now, please. But, you know, you said similar things to me. I mean, he did say, or get out of this house and leave the car keys, or you're not going out with your friends after 10. Stuff like that, right?
Do you want a new Starbucks mug? You want a new Starbucks mug? I'll get you that. You want that?
Cake pop?
You want that?
Cake pop? Cake pop?
Do you want Starbucks mug?
Todd likes getting the little dog Starbucks drink that's just whipped cream in a tiny thing.
Do you want a sriracha packet? They offer those
just
now.
Just puts his nose in it.
Sriracha?
It's really cute.
Sriracha? No?
So Todd goes, absolutely, I feel the same way. And I think one of the interesting things is the number of people in this group. You know, some of them don't even know my name and asserted things about me. Well, I obviously know your name, and it's Bertrand. So please stop dragging me into this.
Well, I think opinions are like nose hairs. Everybody's got them. Why are you on me about it?
Okay, Todd, do you want a macchiato, maybe?
You know, they feel free to share their opinions, but that doesn't mean they're true. You know, Bronwyn and I have a strong relationship. We got ups, we've got downs. Sometimes she gets grounded. But ultimately, we get a great time together. You know, we've experienced so much in the last 10 years. I got older, she got a few faces, a lot of dresses, am I right?
We watch a lot of John Wayne movies. God, we have a lot of fun times together.
People are jealous.
Nobody is jealous of your ass. Nobody. I can see that you have a lot of money, which is great. If that's what it costs, I don't want it. I don't want it. Todd yelling at you, I don't like how Todd treats Bronwyn. And I know I'm kind of rough on Bronwyn, but it's only because no one else seems to see it and call her out, which makes me crazy. But ultimately, I like her. I'm glad she's on the show. Like, I think she's a good housewife. I like her, and I don't like seeing her mistreated by that old bastard. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I hope she finds wherever he's hiding that money, and she gets it. No, divorce won't work, because his ass has everything tied up in trust. You know it does.
Yeah.
You know there's no way that she's getting her hands on anything unless she gets tricky. And if we know that anyone is tricky on this show, it's that girl. So I hope she takes all these powers that she's using right now against Barlow and takes that fucker for everything he's worth. Get him! Get him, Bronwyn!
I love Bronwyn, I have to say. To me, there's no qualifications about it. I just love her. I think she's great, even when she's, you know, being messy or whatever. That's, you know me, I always love a messy, messy housewife. So
well, they're jealous of me. Well, I'm curious about the conversations that have come out about your behavior on the show or things that you've maybe seen from each other on the show. Don't sue me. Please don't sue me.
And Bronwyn was like, well, you know, I tend to have a sarcastic bend to my humor, and I always want to say something before anyone else says. She's basically kind of parroting everything that he's been mad at her about, you know, which I don't like.
Mm-hmm. And so she's like, and you know, sometimes that comes across like I'm making a joke at Todd's expense or the stability of my marriage's expense. And, you know, that does take a toll. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to watch the world think that is like, you know, one speaking negatively about my spouse or my marriage. And Todd didn't deserve that. He just wanted a Werther's original. That's all he wanted. Did you deserve that, honey? Did you deserve that? No, you don't. He doesn't deserve it.
And I know I seem grumpy. And I know when I'm yelling at all these ladies like children on my lawn. But at the end of the day, it's my lawn. And that's it. It's not your lawn. Get off my lawn. Get off of my lawn.
You know, I've committed myself to and to Bronwyn to work on that. And I don't mean to be as assertive as I appear, but like a ninth grade type of argument, a playground argument, just set me off a little bit.
And Mary goes, not ninth grade.
But a couple of things are off limit for television. First of all, my nipples, whether through a shirt or not through a shirt, these hands are covering them, and you're not getting a piece of this, so stop trying.
And also, what the hell is Bravo anyway? Last time I checked, this was my opera station.
And the second thing that's off limits is Bronwyn's daughter, Gwendolyn, who I've been with for 10 years. So bringing up issues that were personal is completely unacceptable.
Your wife did that. Almost. Just pointing it out. You guys, that came from your team. So he's like, almost to the point of being libelous.
And John is like, well, who? Wait, am I allowed to speak? Oh my God. You can do it, John. Come on, we told you to do this. Okay.
Beep, 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 beep.
Who?
John, stop parallel parking in your head and just do it.
Okay. You can do it, John. Who brought it up?
Your wife did!
Oh, no, she didn't.
Uh-huh, yes, she did. And I'll see you like I did Hewlett-Packard.
And Ron was like, he's talking about the after show and what was said on the after show. And John's like, Lisa didn't bring that up. Bronwyn brought it up.
Okay, I don't want to litigate this. I just lit a fire and now I'm mad that it's burning. So please stop fighting, please.
Yeah, Todd, I get where you're coming from. And Bronwyn's like, well, he's talking about the after show, Todd. And Todd goes, let me be clear about something. You asserting Bronwyn had a miscarriage was why I didn't. And John goes, watch your tone. I'm like, oh, John Barlow,
watch your tone.
It's like, I'm not watching my tone. I'll use any tone I want.
Watch your tone.
No.
You watch your tone.
You watch your tone.
You watch your tone.
No, you watch. Hey, am I fighting with myself?
He does that sometimes. Right,
he
honey?
He does. He gets
okay,
very
honey.
Upset.
It's okay.
It's after 7 o'clock.
So they're just yelling at each other. Just would like to assert again that no one accused Bronwyn of having a miscarriage except she said that. Okay, so Heather is just like, guys, I just wanted to say something. Sometimes in life, we reunite. Sometimes we decide to parallel park. Sometimes, Meredith, shut the fuck up. Heather, shut the fuck up already. None of us can take this anymore.
Receipts. Proof.
No, Heather.
Timeline.
And that is the end of part one of the reunion. Thank you, San Diego, for having us here.
Thank you guys so much.
It's great seeing you all, and have a great night.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's always automatic with Ashley Auto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no less namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets a name from us, it's Lindsay.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie,
my favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.